Well, I'm Jessica Conker, one of the associate pastors here at the church. And this Advent, we've been looking at the songs of Christmas. We've been looking at songs sung by the angels and by Mary and others. And today we're going to look at a song by a man named Simeon and look at his song. And as we're thinking about songs, did you know that you can learn a lot about a person by the song that they sang, right? For example, Joe DiPietro, he has a song which he titles, "I Love You, You're Perfect, Now Change." So what can we learn about Joe from this song? Well, maybe not to go to him for relationship advice, right? Am I right? Okay. Another song by Tom Rosenthal is titled, "My Lucky Pants Failed Me Again." The song says, "You can see victory in my eyes, but sometimes the demise, sometimes the world lies. My lucky pants failed me again." So, wow, what do we learn about Joe from this song? Maybe he needs to ask Santa for some new lucky pants. And then there's my personal favorite song by Bobby Bear. You guys can look this up later. This is a real song. It's called "Drop Kick Me Jesus Through the Goalposts of Life." Bobby writes, "Make me, oh, make me, Lord, more than I am. Make me a piece in your master game plan, free from the earthly tempestion below. I've got the will, Lord, if you've got the toe." So what do we learn about Bobby from this? Well, he loves Jesus a lot and maybe football a little bit too much. Today, we're going to be looking at a song by a man named Simeon. And what can we learn from this song, which he shares in Luke 2, 25 through 32? So I invite you now to stand as we read the Gospels, as we hear God's word to us this morning. Let's stand. Our scripture says, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation, the comfort of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And moved by the Spirit, he goes into the temple courts. And when the parents, Mary and Joseph, brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, which was to make a sacrifice, Simeon took Jesus in his arms and praised God, saying, 'Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.'" It's the word of the Lord. Let's be seated. So what do we learn from our scripture about Simeon and his song? Well, when Simeon sees Jesus in the temple, Simeon has been waiting his whole life to see the Savior, to see Jesus. And when he finally sees him, he has this beautiful line. It says, "Lord, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." So what does the song teach us about Simeon? Well, Simeon was content and at peace. Once he sees Jesus in essence, he's saying, "Lord, I can die in peace. I've seen your salvation." Wow. What contentment. I don't know about you, but I long to have that kind of contentment and peace in my life. I long for that kind of peace in the midst of everyday stressors, errands, fender benders, aches and pains, endless to-dos, to have a peace amidst all that. And when I face more difficult things, trials, difficulties, I long to have a peace. At the end of my life, I long to have that peace to you. I could say, Lord, dismiss me in peace. I've seen your salvation. Well, I think especially during Christmas time, we can feel the opposite of contentment, right? Making lists, buying presents for people. I don't know about you guys, but when I buy presents for my kids or for my family members, I always wonder, did I get them enough? Will they be satisfied? For some reason, this is not a question that Chris worries about. Right? I don't know. Hey, ladies, right? Does the shopping not fall to us so often? Yes. And we wonder, did we get them enough? Will they be satisfied? Well, one of my favorite Christmas movies that exemplifies this like question of contentment and peace, satisfaction, is the movie A Charlie Brown Christmas. Has anyone seen this? This is like a Christmas classic for us. We watch this every year, Charlie Brown Christmas. Charlie Brown says, I just don't understand Christmas, I guess. I like getting presents and sending Christmas cards, decorating trees and all that, but he says, I'm still not happy. I always end up feeling depressed. And then Lucy, his very wise therapist, says, I know how you feel about all this Christmas business. She says, it happens to me every year. I never get what I really want. I always get a lot of stupid toys or bikes or clothes or something like that. And then Charlie Brown asked her this question that I think is so important. He says, what is it you want? And Lucy says, real estate. Are any of your guys' kids asking for real estate? Just wondering. I wish I had thought of that when I was 7, right? What is it you want? I think deep down we are seeking, I'm seeking more than real estate. I'm seeking a deep contentment and peace. We can't find this on our own. That's why the psalmist says, because your love is better than life, oh God, my soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. St. Augustine said, our hearts are restless until we find our rest in you, oh God. So how can we see the places where Simeon finds this contentment, this peace in his life and in his song that he sings? Well, the first place that we see Simeon finding this contentment and peace is in knowing that God listens. Knowing that God listens, he finds this great peace. And so to help us remember this, I have a picture of an ear for you to help us remember that God listens. So we learn from this passage that Simeon was a man who longed to see God's Savior. And Simeon, actually the name Simeon, this is really interesting, means God hears. And Simeon believes that God hears him, and that's why he shares with God his deepest longings, his deepest desires to see the Messiah, to see the Savior. That's all that he wants. And because he knows that God listens, he prays. He prays and he pours out his soul before God, because he knows that God is listening, God hears and cares. Now, have you guys ever tried to talk to someone who is not listening to you? Have you guys ever tried to talk to someone who's not listening to you? You might be sharing about your day with them or telling them something that happened to you, and you see this. Yeah. So you might even try, like, and then I saw the abominable snow monster walk by, just to see if they're listening, and they're like, uh-huh, yep, yeah, oh, wow, honey, that's great, yeah. When people aren't listening to us, it can stop us from really wanting to share what's going on in our lives. We can lose that trust. It can break down our relationship if we feel like people aren't listening, they don't understand. In contrast, have you guys ever had someone listen to you so attentively? They're making eye contact. They're nodding. You know, they're practicing active listening, saying back what they've heard you say. Friends, let me tell you, this is one of the greatest gifts we can give each other, just to listen. And it brings the most peace that you can't find anywhere else. When someone just listens to you, they hear your heart. It just brings such a peace. Even though the circumstances are still going on in your life, difficulties, just to know that someone listens. And Simeon experiences this. He knows God is listening. He knows God has heard his cry, his desire to see the Savior. He knows God has heard him, that God is listening. I know for me recently, I went through a time when it was really difficult for me to believe that God was listening. I went through really a trying time. It was about a month ago, and within 24 hours, our family found out that a close family friend had died suddenly. So we were struggling with the grief of that, and then we had a really intense health crisis that happened. And it was such a time of great anxiety. It was kind of like one of those, if you guys ever had those times when it was like back to back, just you felt like things were just hitting you over and over again. So for us, I felt like during this time, I was just so overwhelmed. I was just trying to survive. You know, I was just trying to like get through, like take care of the kids, like, okay, food, we gotta eat. You know, just like thinking of those things. And it was like just for a couple days, just trying to get through. And it was during that time, I kept just in the back of my head wondering, like, does God hear me? Does God see me? Is God listening? Does God know what's happening here? And I finally had a moment in all the craziness just to stop and just to kind of be still for a little bit and listen and share with God some of those the things that were happening. And you know, in the midst of that, I really did hear God saying, hey, I'm listening. I'm here. You're not alone. I'm with you. Now, it was so hard. So many times I felt like I was far from God, but you know, I saw God through the gifts, the blessings, the friendships that supported us through that time. God had not abandoned me, even though at times I felt far from him. We all go through moments when it may be hard for us to believe that God is listening. Maybe we've been praying about something for a long time and we feel no answer. Maybe we try to pray, but we're just kind of going through the motions, feels dry. We don't feel God's presence. I want to encourage you, God is listening. No matter what you're going through, maybe it's sickness, grief. I know this pandemic has brought so much anxiety and loneliness, isolation. But I want to remind you that you can bring all of it to God and know that he is listening, that he cares. As like Simeon, as he shares and allows God to listen to his deepest longings and fears, you'll find this peace and contentment that you can't find anywhere else. So first we see Simeon finding this peace and contentment as he shares and as he has God listen to him. The second place that we see Simeon finding this peace and contentment is as he waits expectantly on God. The Greek word for waiting here is a very interesting word. It's a compound Greek word, it's pros dekomai. And pros means to or towards, if you're moving to or towards something. And dekomai means to graciously receive. Graciously receive something. So it's like this picture of someone with their hands outstretched. They haven't received what they are longing for, what they're waiting for, but they have this posture of trust, hands open, knowing that they are going to receive. It kind of reminds me of a kid on Christmas morning, right, with their hands outstretched, ready to receive a Christmas present. They don't have it yet, but they know that they're gonna get that gift. They trust that they're going to receive it. In the same way, we see Simeon. He has this great trust that his hands are open, ready to receive, watching, waiting, every day searching, looking for the Messiah, knowing that God is going to answer him. He has this great trust and peace because he knows that God is going to answer. Now, this has been such a difficult year. I think we can all relate to Simeon as he is waiting expectantly. I know when the pandemic began, I remember the first few weeks of waiting for our shelter in place to be over, right? Doesn't that seem like a long time ago? Yeah, seems like forever ago, right? We're just waiting for things to go back to normal, and here we are still waiting for that, still unsure, you know, when are things gonna go back to normal? When will this be over? And I don't know about you, but I hate waiting. Does anybody else hate waiting? It is terrible to wait. I hate being in limbo. I hate not having resolution. I normally don't feel peaceful when I'm waiting. But Simeon, what a picture for us. Hands open, waiting, trusting that God is going to graciously give to him what he's waiting for. And what a peace he has. Wow. One of the places that I wait expectantly for God is through my prayer journal. I love to write down my prayers. I've filled up lots of journals over the years, hundreds of pages where I just write down the places where I'm longing to see God, where I'm waiting expectantly for him to answer. And for me, my prayer journal is that posture of hands open. I write down my longings, my desires, and I wait for God to answer. And you know, sometimes God answers right away. Sometimes it takes weeks or months or years. It doesn't always happen in the timing that I would want or how I might have wanted it to take place. But God does. As I pray, I feel his peace as I'm waiting expectantly. I'm filled with trust as I pour out those prayers to him. And for me, my prayer journal is just that posture of open hands. Lord, I give this to you. I'm waiting. I trust you. I'm here waiting to graciously receive what you want to give me. Where have you been waiting expectantly for God? Maybe you're feeling overwhelmed this time of year, grieving a loved one, missing family or friends you can't see. Maybe you need comfort from sickness, comfort for a relationship that's broken, comfort for a situation that feels impossible. How might you lift your hands to God, trusting him with this area as you wait expectantly with hands open to receive what God has for you? So we see Simeon, he has this peace as he knows God hears, as he knows God's listening. Simeon has this peace as he waits expectantly, trusting God. And third, Simeon has peace and contentment as he knows that God is near. So to remind us of God's nearness, I have this picture of a father embracing his son. And I love this picture because it reminds us of how God is our father, longing to draw us near and to hold us close. I want to read part of the scripture about Simeon again. And as I'm reading it, I want you to listen, to notice for the word that shows up over and over again as I'm reading it. So I'm going to start in verse 25. It says, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, and the Holy Spirit was on him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts." All right, so what word do you guys see shows up over and over again? Holy Spirit. Yes, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's presence with Simeon. It's God's nearness to him. And I think the Holy Spirit is often that forgotten part of the Trinity, right? We talk about the Father, we talk about Jesus, but the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity, is God with us. It's the Holy Spirit is God drawing us to Jesus, drawing us into God's presence, reminding us that God is close. The Holy Spirit, we see, is on Simeon. He reveals things to Simeon. He's moving Simeon. The Holy Spirit is God's nearness to Simeon. And the Holy Spirit is God's nearness and presence to us. One of my favorite songs this Christmas season has been the song Away in a Manger. And our daughter Gracie, we have this little like toy nativity, and she will press this button on it that plays Away in the Manger over and over again. And you know, she'll keep playing it over and over and over. And some people might find this annoying, but I actually love it. I just love this song. And at night, I will hold Gracie close. And I'll smell her hair, and I'll cuddle her, and I'll sing and pray this song over her. And I've been especially struck by the last verse. It says, "Be near me, Lord Jesus. I ask thee to stay close by me forever, and love me, I pray. Be near me, Lord Jesus. Be near me, Lord Jesus." Had a moment this morning even when I was like frantic looking for something before I came in, and I just prayed this prayer, simple prayer, "Be near me, Lord Jesus." It's become my prayer this Advent season, just that to experience God's nearness to me, to experience, to know that God is near no matter what I'm going through. I pray that you would know this as well this Christmas. You know, maybe it's simple, mundane things, you know, like a pile of presents you have to wrap that you feel overwhelmed with, food to prepare. Maybe it's something more difficult. Maybe you're facing a deep loneliness this Christmas. Maybe it's something stressful that's happening in your family. I pray that you would experience God's nearness to you, even in the midst of those things, that you join me in praying, "Be near me, Lord Jesus. I ask thee to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray." So finally, we see Simeon finding this contentment and peace in God's salvation. I want to read to you again Simeon's song. Simeon says, he takes the baby Jesus in his arms, he praises God, and he says, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised now, you may dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." Before, salvation was just for Israel, with some few exceptions. It was for the Jewish people. But now we see Jesus will be the light to the Gentiles, to the nations. And the truth is, you know, without Jesus, you and I might not be included in that salvation. Before, God had mostly spoken to the nation Israel, but now Jesus is a light for those who are not Jewish. God is offering his salvation to the world, joy to the world. And Simeon knows that this salvation brings the greatest peace. To know he will be saved from sin and death, to be saved for God's purposes for him. Well, through my sermon, I've alluded to a difficult time that our family went through. And I want to share with you a little bit more about that. Over a month ago, while our family was on sabbatical, our family went to see my extended family and my family in Seattle. And we were quarantining from my parents, especially, who are older, for several days. We wanted to make sure that nobody was sick. And the day that we were supposed to see them, my husband Chris woke up and he said, "I'm not feeling good." And so we took him in, and he was able to get a test and was positive for COVID. Several days later, I started to feel sick as well and also tested positive for COVID. Well, throughout my sickness, I would worry, am I breathing okay? I would check my oxygen levels. I would take aspirin to help with blood clots. Several days into my sickness, I experienced a very scary moment with difficulty breathing and severe chest pain. And I began to lose feeling in my legs and in my arms and started to feel the numbness creep into my face. And that's when we decided to call 911. And while I was waiting for someone to come, every second felt like an hour. I just remember thinking, when will I hear those sirens? The pain in my chest felt like I was being crushed. And as this was all happening, all I could do was look at Chris and say, I love you. I hope I get to see our kids grow up. I love you. I love you. I didn't know what was happening. The only thing I could think amidst such fear was, I know that Jesus loves me. I am forgiven and saved by him. I know that everything is going to be okay. Well, the emergency vehicles got there, and I went to the hospital to have some tests done, and I'm so thankful. I didn't have a stroke or heart attack. I was okay. The numbness and chest pain was from extreme anxiety. Going through this with our family was one of the most emotionally and physically stressful experiences for us. And I'm so thankful to be alive and now recovered. I'm so thankful that I get to see my kids, that I can hug Chris. I'm so thankful for Jesus' salvation. I'm thankful to be alive. But when that day does come, when I will see Jesus, I know I can say with Simeon, Lord, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Friends, I know I'm a broken, sinful person. I've made bad choices. I've chosen my way instead of God's way. But I'm leaning every day on God's mercy and forgiveness for me. It is only by God's grace through Jesus' sacrifice that I am saved. It is only in Jesus' salvation from sin and death that I have peace, that I have a purpose for life. And I pray that you know God's peace in your life. God's peace for the forgiveness of your sins. I pray you know the peace that there is nothing in this life that can separate you from the love of Christ. Not height, not depth, not sickness, not even death. This is the peace that Simeon had, and this is the peace that we celebrate this Christmas in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Oh God, we thank you so much for Simeon this morning. Thank you for his life. Thank you for the way that he knew that you listened. Thank you for the way that he knew you heard him. Thank you for his expectant waiting with hands outstretched, trusting you, God, for your nearness to him, for your peace and salvation. God, this morning, we come like Simeon. We come with our burdens, we come with our fears, we come with our hopes and longings and dreams, we come with our broken places, God, and we lay them before you, hands open, expectant, waiting to receive what you would have for us, Lord, waiting, trusting you that you will give us what we need. This morning, Lord, we pray, be near us, Lord Jesus. We ask you to stay close by us forever. Love us, we pray. God, we pray as we go into this day, as we encounter people, as we just do the mundane tasks of life, that you would be near us, Lord. Be near us. Make that our prayer this Advent. Make that our prayer as we come to the manger, as we see your salvation. God, that it is not just about being saved to go to heaven. No, Lord, it is about your nearness to us now. That is our salvation, God. Be near us. Lord, we thank you for your salvation, though. We do. God, we are saved from our sin. We are saved from ourselves. We are saved from our selfishness because of Jesus Christ. And we are saved from death. Hallelujah. God, thank you for your salvation in Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Please stand with us now and join as we sing our closing song.
Y'all sing with us. Come that long expected Jesus, joy of our hearts.
Born to set thy people free from our fears and sins, release us, let us find our rest in thee. One.
Thank you so much for leading us, worship team. Thank you so much, Jessica, for sharing the word and your heart and life experience with us. I just want to give you a few reminders before Jessica leads us in the benediction. If you're online, you can click on that link, and there's a Zoom gathering, and you're invited to do that. Pastor Jeff's already there waiting for you. Here, you're invited to coffee and donuts out there in the cold, rainy courtyard, but it's going to be good fellowship. Tomorrow night, we have worship night, our monthly worship night out in the courtyard. Come at 6:45, hang out, 7 o'clock worship starts. Christmas Eve services, the registration to reserve a spot is online. As I mentioned earlier, most of those worship services were at capacity, but we're registering people for an overflow. So if you register from now going forward, we have rooms, like overflow rooms, like back here for you to go. And there might be a chance after we get people seated that we can still bring you in, but we have to make sure we do that socially distanced. So I invite you to come about 10 minutes early or so to make sure we can all get seated and do that in a way that keeps everyone safe and all of that. So thank you for bearing with us on our first COVID Christmas. Okay, and we look forward to hopefully a year from now being packed and crowded in this room again with no masks and all of that. One day that will come. Okay, one day, but for now, we're doing this, and we're going to do our best to celebrate well. So Jessica, come on up.
Friends, my prayer for you as you approach Christmas is that you would know that God hears, God is listening. As you wait expectantly, that you would trust to receive from God what he has for you. That you would know that God is near you, the Holy Spirit is near you, that you would rejoice in the peace of God's salvation, that you would know that peace that Simeon had, that you might say with him, Lord, dismiss me in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. And now may the love of God the Father, may the friendship of the Holy Spirit and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you now and forevermore. And all God's people said, Amen.